Turn with me to Hebrews 12, 13 tonight. Hebrews 13, we're going to be at verse 9, but before we do, I thought it would be interesting to read a couple paragraphs written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon in 1887. This is the first article that Charles Spurgeon wrote on what's called the downgrade controversy. Eventually, Charles Haddon Spurgeon continued to speak out against the downgrade controversy, but in the Baptist Union, as the infiltration of the liberals into the denomination, he sought to bring the denomination to vote out the liberals and to have a clear-cut doctrinal statement that they would have to accept. The fact is that it came to a vote, I believe it was 1892, might have been 1891. I believe that in the vote, I think it was something like 200-2. Only one person stood with Charles Spurgeon on the issue of separation from the liberals. And he began a series of articles alerting people of what was happening. Obviously, people didn't believe him. But I thought it would be interesting to read a couple paragraphs. And I say that because even though the battle today is not the same, it is the same. The spirit of the battle is the same. The battle may not be so much as the inspiration of Scripture, but it's really about the spirit of the authority of Scripture. And we go on the whole line. It is true that New Evangelicalism is a subtle form of old-time liberalism. And it all leads to the same path. But I thought it'd be interesting for you to hear what he had to say. this is actually the second paragraph. At the back of doctrinal falsehood comes a natural decline of spiritual life, evidenced by a taste for questionable amusements and a weariness of devotional meetings. Isn't it interesting, isn't it? At a certain meeting of ministers and church officers, one after another doubted the value of prayer meetings. I wonder how many churches have prayer meetings nowadays. All confessed that they had a very small attendance, and several acknowledged without the slightest compunction that they had quite given them up. What means this? Are churches in a right condition when they have only one meeting for prayer in a week, and that a mere skeleton? Churches which have prayer meetings several times on the Lord's Day and very frequently during the week, yet feel their need of more prayer. But what can be said of those who very seldom practice united supplication? Are there few conversions? Do the congregations dwindle? Who wonders that this is the case when the spirit of prayer has departed? I thought that was quite interesting. When he said, our church is in a right condition. Churches which have prayer meetings several times on the Lord's Day and very frequently during the week. And we can say, oh, we have prayer meeting. But it's not even close to the standard of good churches of the past. As for questionable amusements, time was when a nonconformist minister who was known to attend the playhouse, the theater, would soon have found himself without a church. Well, now it's okay. You can do it with a video in your house. And justly so, for no man can long possess the confidence, even of the most worldly, who is known to be a haunter of theaters. Yet at the present time, it is a matter of notoriety that preachers of no mean repute defend the playhouse. Those are two big words for you. In other words, big shot preachers defend the playhouse. And do so because they have been there. Is it any wonder that church members in the forget their vows of consecration and run with the unholy in the ways of frivolity? When they hear that persons are tolerated in the pastorate who do the same. We doubt not that, for writing these lines, we shall incur the charge of prudery and bigotry. And this will but prove how are the tone and spirit of the churches in many places. The fact is that many would like to unite church and stage, cards and prayer, dancing and sacraments. If we are powerless to stem this torrent, we can at least warn men of its existence and entreat them to keep out of it. When the old faith is gone and enthusiasm for the gospel is extinct, it is no wonder that people seek something else in the way of delight. Lacking bread, they feed on ashes. Rejecting the way of the Lord, they run greedily in the paths of folly. Interesting. Interesting. I would like time to read all of it, but history does repeat itself. And the problem is most people don't learn from history. And, of course, Britain, who used to be the number one missionary sending agent country in the world, is now one of the greatest mission fields. And obviously America, who inherited that prized possession of being the number one sender of missionaries, is now on the slope to becoming one of the great mission fields of the world itself. And the spirit that overtook England is now overtaking Christianity in America. And you can really see the similarities of what Spurgeon was saying. Hebrews, I thought it would be also interesting to note, and I'm just going to read what Lou Martuniak said. He said, this is what he said. He says, Central Seminary has moved into the new evangelical orb of John Piper. Central has drifted far from the fundamentalist separatist moorings that were in its historic distinctives. Northland International University President Dr. Matt Olson praises a church in C.J. Mahanthi's modern charismatic movement, and CCM rap and rock music is the new norm for praise on campus. Getting pretty close to home. Okay. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice the next verse is very interesting. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now, as I think of that verse, I think of Ephesians chapter number 4. Turn there. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And of course the context is why the gifts that he gave to the church of pastor and evangelist. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice it says, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, the Bible describes doctrine as kind of flying around on a wind. And one of the things that we have to understand is that everything in life is spiritual. And we have to understand the spiritual realities of life. There are winds that are blowing. And we need to be able to understand that the winds are blowing. We need to have a little bit of understanding about We need to have a lot of understanding about the Bible. And we have to have some understanding of the winds of the hour. And they are exactly like that, winds. You know, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Schultz, wish he was a brother. I'm glad Mr. Schultz didn't plant corn this year across the field. Because every year when they plant corn, after they plant corn, they shred the field, and the winds blow from the west, and our churchyard is full of corn material. Leaves, corn leaves, and parts of corn stalks. And why? You know why? Because the wind blows. And that's a picture of people who aren't anchored in the Word of God. They just blow with the wind. And there are spiritual winds that are blowing. And we need to, and that's the, we read this little article about Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, he was a man of discernment. He certainly wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man who, apart from most other men of his day, had some spiritual discernment about the wind that was blowing. And he saw it blowing. And everybody was following the wind because they had no anchors in the Word of God. And we have winds that are blowing today. And people are just blowing with the wind. And you know, just you need to understand the winds that are blowing. Of course, you know, it was 1890 that the wind of the Pentecostal movement started blowing. And the false tongues of the charismatic movement started in 1890. Been apart from the Christian church for 1800 years. But it had always lived in the cults and in false religion. But it came on the Christian scene through Amy Simpleton McPherson, a woman Pentecostal preacher. And the winds have been blowing ever since. And that wind was the wind that said you interpret events by experience and not by the Bible. And that wind has been blowing for a long time. Now, another wind that has been blowing is mysticism. Now, the Catholic Church, their whole religion is based on mysticism. And that mysticism is the fact that God is known by a feeling and not by truth. And the wind of mysticism is blowing very strongly and is permeating Christianity. And that mysticism, that feeling of mysticism is produced by CCM music, by adapted CCM music, by the soft syncopated beat, by soft rock. And what is it? God is a feeling. And that defines who the Holy Spirit is. And now the Holy Spirit is that feeling, and the truth of the Bible takes a secondary place. Their winds are always blowing. Now, one of the issues here is introduced by verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God has always been the same. The dispensations may be different, but God is always the same. And we need to know who God is. God is a God of truth. If I can put it in a simple presentation, God is a God of principle. And when we read the Bible, we learn who God is through the Bible. And the principles whereby God works are always the same throughout the Bible. The principles whereby God works and whereby He is known are consistent throughout the Bible. Whether it is Genesis, whether it's Exodus, whether it's Leviticus, whether it's Joshua, whether it's Samuel, whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Ezekiel, the God of all of those books is consistently the same. And when we study our Bible, we need to be people who look at the timeless principles whereby God reveals himself. We need to look at the timeless principles in which God always functions. You know, people today, and you know, there's a very number of reasons, and a lot of it has to do with inexperience. A lot of it has to do with the feeling-oriented day in which we live. A lot of it has to do with ignorance. But you know, it's really hard for people to say today, God doesn't do that. It's really hard for people to say, God's not in that. It's really hard for people to say, God doesn't do that. You know, I think it was last week, Dr. Sanders was skirting on that when he said, I don't know, might have been in chapel, but he said, you know, there's some things that you don't have to pray about. When you have a direct commandment in the Bible, it's not something you have to pray about. And we live on this day in which here's a direct commandment of the Bible, and people say, well, I got to pray about it. What? But you know what? You don't hear that kind of preaching anymore. You don't hear that kind of preaching anymore. And what that kind of preacher is saying, you don't have to determine if this is truth or not by praying about it. If the Bible says it, obey it. Now, there's a principle there. There is a God that is known. Now, I would imagine that a lot of people, they would say that's the height of egotism when they say, when someone says, well, God's not in it. Or God doesn't work that way. Now, I suppose that could be true, but I think most of the time it's a matter of a lack of understanding of who God is, plus a lack of experience with life. But I'm thankful that God is predictable. I'm thankful that all the principles of how God works is the same throughout the Bible. It isn't shifting sand. There is a consistency in how God works and how he reveals himself. Now, we ought to be able to see that. Now, young person, you know, if anybody, I don't know who gave me the Culver's pass, but that's, thank you very much. You know, when you are reading your Bible, there's another one. My wife gets to go this time. Okay. Guess we got it made now, dear. Now, you know, young person, when you read your Bible, you should be looking for the timeless principles of truth. You ought to be looking in the context of why does God do this? What is he saying? How is he revealing himself? The Bible is always a revelation of the nature and the character of God. Always. We need to know that God. Otherwise, we don't know truth. And you think of verse 9, it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. There's a lot of strange doctrines out there. Now, of course, you investigate Mormonism. Boy, that's really strange. I heard Mitt Romney say, well, you know, a lot of people believe strange things. Christians believe that some people got on a boat and there was a worldwide flood. And he was comparing that to, you know, that the Mormons believe that God is a man and all these different planets that you're a good Mormon, you'll become the God of a planet and all this strange stuff. But, there's a lot of people who believe strange things. You know, think of the Seventh-day Adventists. If they eat pork, they're going to hell. And the Seventh-day Adventists? The sign of the Antichrist. Worship on Sunday. Strange doctrines. And there are multitudes of people who believe it. I mean, we aren't going to make a whole list of strange doctrines. But the principle? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, one of the reasons we've been studying the attributes of God in Sunday school is very simple. Number one, we really need to know who God is. And number two, I fear that there's a lot of young people who really don't even care what the Bible says of who God is. Doctrine doesn't mean a lick. It's unnecessary. I mean, this is the hour in which we live. And what happens to those people who don't know the Bible and know doctrine? They're carried about by every wind of doctrine. And, of course, we find this great truth. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. The supernatural, the unmerited favor of God found in Jesus Christ. And of course, this tendency of man is that they are established by religion. And you know, and there is a danger. There's even a danger among those who know the truth that they can come to this place where they think they're doing fine with God just because they don't do certain things. And just because they're going through a mechanical process. And they are mistakenly in that same wrong realm of life and spiritual living. And again, it's a lack of really knowing and walking with God. Now, we'll just give a brief summary of the next few verses here. We have an altar whereof they know have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. And of course, the context, those who are established by not eating pork, not eating unclean meat, those who are established by the tabernacle rituals, and they don't have a right to the other altar. That's the altar in heaven. That's the altar which Christ put his blood on. That's the altar of forgiveness of sins and atonement through Christ. And, of course, this is written to the Jewish people. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And, of course, this is the theme of the book of Hebrews. To leave the Old Testament, the Hebrew religion, and which there was a mistaken relationship with God, an empty religion, but to follow Christ would be to bear the reproach of Christ. And we'll go to that next week, but of course the sin offering. The blood was sprinkled on the altar, but the body, the animal, was taken outside the camp, burned outside of the city, outside of the tent, outside of the tabernacle, because it bore the sin of the people. And so Christ was put outside of the city. He was sacrificed like the sin offering, because he was the sin offering, outside of the camp. Crucifixion was a vile death. For the worst of criminals, he was led outside the gates of the city to Calvary, because he was the sin offering. And he was rejected. He was a reproach. And of course the conclusion is, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Let's identify with Jesus Christ. Identify with his reproach, his rejection. And the Jewish people, to identify with Christ was reproachful, was full of persecution, was rejection. But this is exactly the picture. And you know, we still, the issue is still today. The picture is still today, maybe more so than ever, to identify with Jesus Christ is to bear his reproach. To identify with Jesus Christ is to be willing to accept the rejection of the world. And the picture here is really simple. The true believer ought to be willing to identify with Jesus Christ. A true believer ought to be willing to identify with their Savior, who bore reproach outside the camp. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that we would be even challenged tonight about our spiritual life. Challenged, Lord, whether we are getting the wind, the false wind of the world, false winds of false religion, or if the wind of the Holy Spirit of God is our life. And that, Lord, we are willing and anxious to bear his reproach, to identify with him, because he is the only Savior. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in our lives to that end. Help us, Lord, not to be lackluster in our Bible reading, in our Bible life, but might we, Lord, search the Scriptures. Might we know who you are and gladly follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.